This your request. Ahab, I vidasyami shall execute. Priyab, very dear. Biru, O afflicted one. Yat, what? It's Chasi, you are desiring. Tasyaha, her. Kabab, desires. Da, not. Kaha, who? Kuryat, would perform. Siddhi, perfection of liberation. Tri Vargiki, three. Yataha, from which? Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O afflicted one, I shall forthwith gratify whatever desire is dear to you. For who else but you is the source of the three perfections of liberation? Purport. The three perfections of liberation are religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. For a conditioned soul, the wife is considered to be the source of liberation because she offers her services to the husband for his ultimate liberation. Conditional material existence is based on sense gratification. And if someone has the good fortune to get a good wife, he is helped by the wife in all respects. If one is disturbed in his conditional life, he becomes more and more entangled in material contamination. A faithful wife is supposed to cooperate with her husband in fulfilling all material desires, so that he can then become comfortable and execute spiritual activities for the perfection of life. If, however, the husband is progressive in spiritual advancement, the wife undoubtedly shares in his activities, and thus both the wife and the husband profit in spiritual perfection. It is essential, therefore, that girls as well as boys be trained to discharge spiritual duties so that at the time of cooperation, both will be benefited. The training of the boy is brahmacharya, and the training of the girl is chastity. A faithful wife and spiritually trained brahmachari are a good combination for advancement of the human mission. This is not a recommendation that everyone should go and get married. We have our spiritual culture of renunciation. It is highly recommended by those who actually know things, like Narada Muni, that one should avoid this material entanglement if possible. Those who can should not get married. Those who cannot can avoid getting married should avoid it. But that's not going to be a large percentage of even the male population. Therefore, we have to be realistic. And we should not be fanatic. If we're overly fanatic, then that is good for the few who can be renounced, but everyone else will be neglected. Krishna consciousness, at least according to our acharyas, other groups of Vaishnavas may arrange things otherwise, but in our line, the line of Srila Bhaktivinoda, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, is accommodating. Is trying to arrange that everybody, at least all human beings, can be engaged in pure Krishna conscious practice, including those in female bodies, including those who are wearing white, are also supposed to be part of the program, and not just marginalized. That their householders are all in Maya, therefore there's not much you can do with them. Prabhupada, that wasn't Prabhupada's attitude. We're all in Maya. We're conditioned souls. But Srila Prabhupada is extremely merciful. He's engaging us in transcendental service despite our disqualifications. And that requires such transcendental dovetailing, requires accommodating, tolerating material imperfection and making adjustments. So, although even when he came to America, there's one place in the folio where you can see a discussion with Tamal Krishnaraj. Prabhupada says, actually, when I came to America, my original intention was just to train up brahmacharis and sannyasis. Traditional thing, like the Gaudiya Math, mainly for renunciants. And the householders are, you know, they're given initiation, but they're not really part of the program. But when Prabhupada dealt with the actual situation in the West, and he saw how there was some, you know, semblance of equality of the sexes, and the women were also coming forward. The Western ladies were more apt to come forward as opposed to Indian ladies who always stay in the background. They're smarter, the Indian women. They control everything from the background. You know, from their position in the home, they control everything. The Western women want independence, and actually they lose their control by trying to become equal to the men. They should, in their own realm, they could control things, but now they're actually becoming disempowered by trying to be the same as the men. Anyway, that's because of lack of understanding of the actual dynamics of social dealings. Prabhupada saw the situation and very quickly adjusted his strategy. He allowed the ladies also into the ashram, such an unheard of thing. It would scandalize most sadhus in India. You know, and it does, what Prabhupada did, to have ashrams where the ladies also live. Of course, everything was arranged very properly. Still, the brahmacharis were able to function as brahmacharis and be left alone. There was segregation, but in the same temple, the same ashram. Prabhupada saw it. This purport was written after Prabhupada was in America for some time. Third canto, middle of the third canto. He wrote purports to the first and second cantos while still in India. He didn't publish the second canto in India. He brought the manuscript with him, Anyway, maybe he dictated it soon after coming to America, second canto. But third canto certainly is American purports dealing with the Western world. And so he says here that the girls as well as the boys, it is essential, therefore, that the girls as well as the boys be trained in discharge of spiritual duties. Traditionally, women did not get brahmachari training. They were trained by their mothers, by their families, in what they needed to learn. They didn't go to schools as the brahminical boys did. They went to the gurukula. Although that's not completely the case. There are exceptions. There are ashrams that actually had facilities for girls. There were brahmacharinis in ancient times, but not many. Now, there were also ladies, at least in some periods of history, who were also training up in the ashram so there is some tradition of giving both the girls and the boys spiritual training, whether it's at home or in an ashram. To be a human being, you need to have spiritual education to function as a proper human being. Animals are programmed by instinct and by their genetic code to do what they're supposed to do. Baby ducks learn how to, you know, swim in a row from their mothers. And it's just programmed into them. But human beings need something more than that, something more than just our instinct and the informal training we may get at home. We need education. And not just material education for a trade or to refine our intelligence. We need spiritual education. Without basic spiritual education, a human being is not a full-fledged human being. He cannot function as a human being. He still will remain like an animal. Dharmina hina, pashu bir samana. Human beings who don't have a right idea of what is the duty of human life. They're no better than animals. Pashu bir samana. Dharma means to understand the special responsibilities of human life that go beyond the animalistic propensities of just sense gratification, defense, and sex. That we don't get from our genetic code. We don't get just by association, informal association. It requires shastric training to learn what is dharma. So the brahmanas, their special status is that they actually study the shastra thoroughly. That is the business of an educated brahman. A brahman who has not studied shastra is a lower class brahman, agya, ignorant brahman. So he doesn't deserve charity like in the way that an educated brahman does. Educated Brahman is called Vipra. And we may call the Brahman down the street Panditji, but he knows nothing. He hasn't studied anything. That is not a real Pandit. So Brahmins are expected to actually read the books, the Shastras. Kshatriyas also read to some extent, but they depend on the Brahmanas to fill in the knowledge they don't have. They have to consult with the Brahmanas in the actual administration of their responsibilities. Even a kshatriya may be well-read, but because of his passionate nature, his judgment may be sometimes wrong or imperfect. So he has to consult with those who have cooler heads to get the proper perspective on various questions. So even if a kshatriya is well-learned, he has to go to the Brahmins for advice. And the Vaishyas and the Shudras, Vaishyas just read what, you know, practical books on their trades, and they learn mathematics and reading and writing. It's basic education. Shudras also. Just very simple education. But spiritual education is for all human beings. We must understand spiritual education. We must understand the basic facts of spiritual life. Maybe not all the details. Maybe not understanding in a very sophisticated way. But we have to understand in some way the basic facts of spiritual life. Otherwise, we are not full-fledged human beings. Even if a Brahmin should karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada a Vaishnavo guru nasyat. Svapatro Vaishnavo Guru. A Brahmin is not a spiritual authority, even if he's very expert in all the six businesses of a Brahmin, performing worship for himself and for others. Yes, and has so many sciences that he's expert in, and he teaches them to others, arts and sciences, and he gives and takes charity. He may be expert in these things, but if he's not a Vaishnava, if he doesn't know the real fact of spiritual life, namely, who is the Supreme? Who are we in relationship to the Supreme? And how does one realize that relationship in devotional service? These are the basic real facts of spiritual life. And this is what comprises actual spiritual education. So you may be a learned Brahmana, and you may know so many arts and sciences. You may be able to chant mantras and do puja and so many things. But if you don't have understanding of the basic those basic facts, then you're not fit to be guru. And you may be uneducated and from a low-class background, but if you understand the actual facts of spiritual life, then you're a spiritual master. You are a spiritual master. Kibra dyasi kibra vipra shudra kede noi. Ye krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. Se guru hoi. Whether he is a learned brahmana or not, whether he's a sannyasi or something else, even if he's a shudra, or worse than a shudra by birth, if he actually understands the science of Krishna consciousness, then he is a spiritual master. He should be accepted as a spiritual authority. And everybody should become, not everybody is going to become a guru, but everyone at least should become a shishya. Everybody should get that spiritual training to fulfill the responsibility of human life. And therefore, the spiritual institution that Prabhupada established has the responsibility to provide that education to every human being, no matter what the gender, no matter what the nationality or superficial external identification of the person is. We have to present, offer training in the basic science of Krishna consciousness and encourage people to take it up. Hare Krishna. That's Prabhupada's program, is Krishna consciousness for everybody, not just for a few. So, okay, I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Если жена образованная, как бы деятельная, привыкла к деятельности, юрист, то, но с другой стороны, она как бы понимает, что для нее неблагоприятно действовать независимо, какая-то деятельность общественная. То есть, как бы, но я вижу, что когда дома, она полностью погружена только в домашнюю работу.
One second. I think I understand almost all of it. She. But what was this gestildust?
She's like a judge. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like.
She's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer.
Lawyer.
Yeah. She's his wife is lawyer, and she.
That's
okay. Okay, I didn't
she's
understand.
Very much educated,
but doesn't know how to behave properly. Was it?
But she's inclined to activity. The gaitiness is the activity.
Yes. Okay.
Просто я вижу, когда она не занята, то есть такая депрессия. Как бы правильно поощрять ее на вот, внешнюю социальную деятельность или наоборот?
Should he encourage her for such social affairs or not?
It depends on what they are. It depends on what these activities are. If they're against Krishna consciousness, if they're sinful activities, then it's not so good. We can't encourage someone in sinful activities. But if they're neutral, if they're material but not contrary to Dharma and not contrary to Krishna consciousness, and she's attached, she's unhappy if she can't do these things, let her do them. Encourage her. The art of Krishna conscious renunciation is to take everything and use it for Krishna's pleasure and his glorification. The success will be if you can take this propensity and use it for Krishna, not try to stop it, but use it for Krishna. But it depends on what the activity is. If someone's a butcher, there's no way you can dovetail the slaughter of animals to Krishna consciousness. You just have to change your job. But a lawyer could do that service for Krishna. Yeah. In some way, directly or indirectly. You can go on executing your duty, even if it's not easily dovetailable. Do your duty, whatever it is, and think of Krishna. But if you can do what you're doing for Krishna directly, then that makes it much easier to think about Krishna and to be satisfied with what you're doing. If a person can become peaceful and find the time to think about Krishna, to hear and chant about Krishna every day, then gradually those material attachments will become less and less. You know, this need to do something material will gradually diminish. But we have to get the higher taste of serving Krishna in order to give up the lower taste. So unless the activity is sinful or just contrary to Krishna consciousness, then encourage it. No reason why she shouldn't do what's according to her nature, as long as it's allowable. And add Krishna consciousness. Okay? Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Did Prabhupada set up a Brahmacharini ashram as a matter of emergency? Or is it that...
Emergency in the sense that if he didn't accommodate the girls who came to him, they'd be furious with him. You know, he didn't want to give. Originally, he wasn't going to give brahminical initiation to the ladies, but they got mad, so he gave it to them. I'm sorry.
Because I see in the Bhaktivinoda ashram, there's no brahmacharini ashram.
Yes.
The ladies are not even allowed on the roof. Is it that as this time progresses and this one develops more and more, that we'll see just ladies' ashrams and men's ashrams separate? Or is it a
proper... Well, Hare Krishna. I don't know. There may be some development of that, of separate ladies' ashrams. But that may not be so. That may not work out so well. They have to experiment with that. I mean, traditionally, yes. I mean, widows and you know, have their own ashrams. Well, that is will be possible when we have kshatriyas. The weaker members of society have to be protected by the kshatriyas. That's the business of kshatriyas, to protect the weak. And managers who are more of a vaishya nature, they're exploitative. They use people. So when you're just trying to manage things from a vaishya consciousness, the weak, useless members of society are just in the way. You know, you're not thinking about taking care of them, you're thinking about just ignoring them or getting them out of the way. So you have to be in a kshatriya consciousness to take care of the women and the others who are useless and dependent. Not useless, you know what I mean, helpless and dependent. So ISKCON has to develop some kshatriyas in order to, you know, before we can actually organize ashrams for the old people, for the women, for the brahmanas, who's going to take care of them? Because the managers, they can't be bothered. They're, you know, these people are just botheration. Because Prabhupada saw, and he, you know, he integrated the ladies into ISKCON because they could be very effective preachers, and do very nice service. They were doing, you know, as good service as their brothers. Therefore, Prabhupada convinced, you know, the managers of ISKCON that, you know, to use the women because they're very usable in Krishna's service. But, you know, so Prabhupada's program works. There's no need to abandon Prabhupada's original program, even of having, you know, everybody in the same temple. That model could continue. And then also there could be special ashrams for those who want that. You know, that's traditional. There's no reason why we can't do traditional things. But not just just throw away Prabhupada's program. There's no need to do, no, not advisable to do that.
So a combination of the two.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, there could be so many different communities in ISKCON, and they can have different standards. They can be, you know, on different levels. Some could be just for renunciates, and others could be for everybody. ISKCON's big enough to be able to handle that, different kinds of communities. And there are devotees who are competent to handle things. Although to really take care of the weaker members of society, there has to evolve a kshatriya, you know, protective consciousness. The noble consciousness has to evolve. Okay. Yes, we
were. Basically, you were speaking about some new stage of developing in our society. I mean, educational, like, stage of educational development.
Yeah.
So my question is, nowadays we can see many devotees are hankering for good education and training, But in the same time, we know that there is some kind of, we can say, even some kind of danger in that devotees, they get a lot of knowledge and one can become, I would say, puffed up maybe. Even Srila Prabhupada, he warned that, you know, that we have to be careful in the sense of becoming like scientists, like scholars,
yes,
you know, like,
yes,
like chair, how chair at school,
yes.
So how one, you know, be, how to say, how one be secured not to be, you know,
there has to be
influenced by such,
there have to be organized educational systems that give thorough training, not only in giving knowledge, but training up character. Devotees, a person who gets knowledge, should also be taught to be humble. So Vaishnavas should be able to do this. Vaishnav teachers should be able to train their students not only to be smart and well-learned, but also to have humility and to have a selfless attitude of serving others. That's Brahminical training. And training just of knowledge without training character is demoniac. It's materialistic. So we should, first of all, we should have our own, our devotees should train one another. We shouldn't have to go outside to the universities and other places to get our education, because these people don't know what is good character. The non-devotees, the devotees should teach the devotees. We should develop our own educational systems on the proper basis. But this practically will have to start from the bottom up, not the top down. These things will have to be done locally. Individual communities will have to develop their own schools. You know, the devotees who can teach should be supported and encouraged to organize to teach. And it should be done locally. And every community that sees a need to prepare for the future should develop schools. You know, and then, you know, that's how it's done practically, not just, you know, the GBC makes a master plan. It won't work like that. Even if they make a perfect plan, who's going to carry it out? So it has to develop locally. And it has to be done. Any community that's going to survive into the future and prosper will have to have education as part of their program, as a major part of their program, educating their own devotees. And devotees who could be educators should be supported and encouraged to do that. Okay. Yeah.
But we can see that even our leading devotees in ISKCON, they, at least in the last 10 years, we can see they come back to the universities to get PhDs, and then we just... But then utilizing Krishna consciousness, what about this, such a kind of...
Betrayed devotee can do that. He can go to the university and not be destroyed. Mm. It's not that certain destruction. It's just not the best way to get your education from the materialist. I mean, if you're already strong in Krishna consciousness, you can tolerate it. But why not have spiritual educational systems? You know, there are disadvantages to going to the universities. These places, you will not learn how to be a Brahmin. Maybe you've already learned how to be a Brahmin from Prabhupada, from Prabhupada's devotees. But you won't learn it in the university. The universities are not at all Brahminical. At best, they're in the mode of passion. You will not get sattvic education in the modern universities. You can get practical training and book learning. But we have that also. You know, we have the tradition and the resources to give, you know, the best intellectual training. So that would be better if we could organize it ourselves rather than have to go to these mundane institutions. Anyway, those who want to can do it, but we should have an alternative. Okay, we can stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.